Shalom Aleichem on behalf of Teach 613. We welcome you to Take 10 Fit Talmud. Makos Daf Hey, Makos 5A, pagination is 9. We'll start from the Mishnah, which is about 18 lines down on the page in the middle of a line. Eino Edim Na'asim Zomimin. You will not have the case of Edim Zomimin, which is a very special case that we're going to punish the false witnesses with the punishment that they were plotting to give to the defendant through their false testimony. You will not find the case of Edim Zomimin ad sheyazimu es atzmon, unless they became Zomimin in their very essence. And as both Rashi and Tosfos express, that we're saying testimony on the very people, not just that we're exonerating the defendant. Let's explain this idea. There are different expressions that could be used. I like the expression of you pulled the rug out from under them, and therefore they toppled. That's not hazama. That's not this high level that we're actually going to punish them with what they plotted to do. In order to do hazama, you have to actually say testimony about the witnesses themselves. Let me explain. Imagine you were talking about Rahman al-Islam, a terrible case of murder, and witnesses can come in and say, it's very interesting that you should say that this man committed a murder on so-and-so on Monday, because we saw the deceased alive on Wednesday, the following Wednesday. He was walking and talking, and we have a great conversation. And even though right now he's dead, but he didn't die on Monday, and your testimony doesn't make any sense. That's called pulling the rug from under them. It's very powerful type of hakhasha to mess up the testimony. But you haven't said testimony about the people themselves, the witnesses themselves. By extrapolation, you've discredited them. Agreed, but you haven't actually said testimony about them. Whereas the Imanu Heyisem B'makom Ploni says testimony on them. Says the Mishnah Ketzad, how does this work? Omru, if they say, Mi'idimanu B'ish Ploni Shara Ges HaNefesh, the testimony of the first witnesses is that someone killed. Omru lohem, and they say to them, Heyachata mi'idim sharei ne'erag ze'o ha'hodeg ze'hayu imanu oso ayam b'makom ploni. On that very day, that person was with us in a different place. In elu zomimin, that doesn't make hazoma. That certainly discredits them, and the capital case is going to be put on hold, but thrown out, but that doesn't make them zomimin. Aval omru lohem, you were with us in a different place. You, the Edim, were with us. That's the case of Hazoma, and it would be punishable. Now, the Mishnah continues with an amazing case, fascinating case, which is what I would like to develop when we springboard into the Gemara. New witnesses come, and these same witnesses that said testimony Imanuel Yisem about the first ones are able to say the exact same testimony about the new witnesses. You could call them the third set of witnesses in the story, or you could say the second set that are testifying to the murder. But whatever it is, the group that said Imanu Yisem about the first witnesses are saying the same Imanu Yisem on this new set of witnesses. And now another group comes. You could call them the fourth or the third about the murder. And again, these witnesses are saying Imanu Yisem. You can't possibly say testimony, and they're exonerating the defendant again. Afilu meya, even if this happens 100 times, kulam ya rogo, all of the witnesses that say testimony to the murder and are discredited by this set of witnesses with the words Imanu Yisem, they will all get killed. Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Rabbi Yehuda says, one second, Istatis Hizu, there's fraud here. Something's very odd. Ve'eno nereg elekata rishona belvad. We would only do zomimin on a first group. We would not do zomimin on multiple groups. And if we indeed see that they're saying Imanu Yisem about anybody who comes, then that itself causes us to have caution, and we will not impose zomimin in such a case. On the bottom of the Amud, we indeed have the quote, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Istatis Hizu. Rabbi Yehuda says something crooked is going on here for them to be able to keep saying testimony about every group that comes to testify about the murder. Let's turn over to the second side and skip down to the fifth line at the end of a line. Hahi itza, there was a woman, da'asoi sahadi v'ishtakur. She brought witnesses. It doesn't matter what the court case was, it's really irrelevant, but the witnesses turned out to be liars. Aisi sahadi v'ishtakur. And then she brought a second set of witnesses, again to testify on this issue that she's trying to win. And again, they were found to be lying. Ozla, she went, Aisi Saad Yacharini, she's bringing in a third set of witnesses, Delo Ishtaker, and these witnesses have not been discredited. Amar Rish Lakish said, Huchsika Zu, the woman who's the Baldover, the litigant in this case, already has a chazaka upon her that she brings false witnesses. And therefore, even though the third set of witnesses has not been discredited, we're still not going to believe them. It is interesting that Rish Lakish is referring to this as a chazaka, even though it seems to have only happened twice. And the typical way that we learn chazaka, there are two ways to learn chazaka, but the typical way is that we require three times. But in any case, he refers to it as a repetitive crookedness, and therefore he doesn't accept this testimony, which obviously at first glance is similar to our Mishnah, the words of Rabbi Yehuda, who did not allow the Edom about Hazama to keep doing it because something's up with them. It's not the same. We'll see. Amalei Rabbi Lozer said, Imhi huchsika, I understand you don't trust her, but kol Yisrael mi huchsiku, but the entire Jewish world is not a bunch of liars. She brought two people that lied. She brought another two people that lied, but she brings another two people. If they're saying testimony, they should be accorded the same believability of any normal Jew, any normal person in the population. Just because she's a liar doesn't mean people would say false testimony on her behalf. And therefore, Rabbi Lazar argued that we should accept the testimony of the third group. Zimnin, it happened later on, Havuyasva Kamed Rabbi Yechanan, they were sitting in front of Rabbi Yechanan, and such a story happened. Asaki ay maisa lekamayu. Amar Rish Lakish said, Huchsikazu. This litigant brings false edim. Amar lei Rabbi Yechanan, and Rabbi Yechanan responded, Imuchsiku zu kol yisrael miuchsiku. Just because the litigant has a chazaka on them, but there's still good testimony here, and the chazaka of bad witnesses doesn't apply to all witnesses. It applies to the litigant. The witnesses are trusted, so we could accept their testimony. Hoder chazil Rabbi Elazar bishus. Rish Lakish looked at Rabbi Lazar with anger, upset. Amalei, he said to him, you made it sound like it was your own thing, this concept that the litigant is discredited, but the witnesses can still stand. And really, you heard it from Rabbi Yechanan. Exact same words. You heard it from Rabbi Yechanan. Shamat mili mi bar napcha velo amrit li mishmei. You heard it from him, and you didn't tell me that it was his. And therefore, I thought it was up for debate. But if Rabbi Yechanan said it, I would have accepted it. Or however we learn. But he wanted to hear that it was from Rabbi Yechanan. Why did Rabbi Elazar make it sound like it was his own? A subject deserving of its own commentary. But we move on to understand the actual halacha. Leimor Reish Lakish to Omer Rabbi Yechanan. At first glance, it seems like Reish Lakish is following the ruling of Rabbi Yehuda. If I said Rabbi Yechanan, Kirabi Yehuda. Rabbi Yechanan to Omer Kirabonon. It sounds like Reish Lakish is saying the ruling of Rabbi Yehuda, that we can get the feeling in the case that these two witnesses or this litigant is a fraud. And therefore, even if they make a move that's unprovable, we won't trust them. Very reminiscent of the boy who cried wolf type of thing. And Rabbi Yechanan is following the Rabbanon, who says, just because something has a pattern here, but the new situation stands on its own merit. Amalach Reish Lakish says there's a distinction. Anodam Riafilu L'Rabbanon. I would say my rule, even according to the Rabbanon, who accept Hazama group after group, I still will not accept the litigant's new witnesses. Because Adkan lo ka'amri Rabbanon ha'asam deleka dekama hader. There's no one facilitating, schlepping these people into Beis Din as witnesses. Aval ha'cha ika ha'ad dekama hader. I have a person that's become untrustworthy in my eyes, and I already have the position that they're schlepping low lives into Beis Din to say testimony, and that's why I won't accept it. For Rabbi Yechanan amalach, and Rabbi Yechanan says, Anod amri afilu l'Rabbi Yehuda, I could even agree with Rabbi Yehuda, who says, you can't have hazama group after group. Adkan lo ka'omar Rabbi Yehuda hasam, but Rabbi Yehuda only said that rule, de amrina natukuli alma gabihani havakaimi. The whole world was by them in this other place. No matter who walks in to testify to the murder, how conveniently they were all with them in their place. Aval hacha, but over here, hani yadi b'sa'adusa v'hani lo yadi b'sa'adusa. You could have witnesses come in on her behalf who didn't know it and got discredited, and another group who also came in on her behalf and were discredited, and the third group who comes in on her behalf, maybe they did know it. Maybe they do know it. There's nothing up about these witnesses that tells us that they're not saying the truth. Again, going back, but for two witnesses to say, everybody was by me in a different place, it starts getting absurd. And therefore, these two cases are not hinging on one another, even though they seem a bit reminiscent. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.